So we're going to do a little Gadita today. So it's the Gemara and Beitza, Tesvav, Amin Beis. Okay? It's kind of part of the stuff we skipped. If you've been following along. Oh, are we, is there any Skyping? Alrighty, so it's on Tesvav Amin Beis. It's kind of, if you've been following along, you've noticed we skipped like an Amud. Okay, and that Amud is Agarata stuff, so we'll be a little slowly. Perhaps we'll cover some of these Gemaras, when we have time. So for now, it's if you remember, the Gemara quoted a Pasuk. It says when the guys left Rabbi Eliezer Shear, he quoted a Pasuk from, I forget where it was, from Nehemiah. The Chu Ichu Mashmana Resumam Takim. Go out and eat treats and drink the good drinks. V'shilchu manos le'nachal lo, and send gifts to people who don't have. Ki kadosh yom ladoneinu, because today is a special day to God. V'al te'atzvun, don't be sad. Ki chedvas Hashem himuzchem, because it's the rejoicing to God is your support, your savior, something like that. So what does this mean? So the Gemara says, ma'ich ki chedvas Hashem himuzchem. What does it mean? There's six lines from the bottom, that's one base. What does it mean that the rejoicing of God is your salvation? So it says, Amar Yochanan Meshem Blazer Meshem, Amar Allah Mekadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Hashem says to the Klal Yisrael, Bini, my sons, Lovu Alai, borrow on me. Mekadosh Kedushas Hayom, and be Mekadosh Liyom. Borrow money for, making a good yantif. Ve'aminu bi, and trust in me. Ebemuna. Bani Poraya. And I'll pay you back. Okay? So that's what it means. This is Rashi says. It says, Chedvas Hashem, the second wide line. Simcha, Shatim Osim Meshul HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chedvas Hashem is like the simcha that you're doing because of Hashem. It's not God's simcha, it's your simcha, which you're doing because of God. Harihim Uzcham. He Tazar Sam. He will help you. Shalem hakafosechem, ubelvosechem, shetuva v'shvila, to pay back your credit, your credits, what do they call it in the store? And you build up a credit,
an account.
Yeah, to pay off your account and your debts that you borrow because of Shabbos Niyantuf. The saying is, don't worry about it. Make food, make a good Shabbos Niyantuf, borrow money, go into debt, and God will take care of you. Okay. God will take care of you. That's what it means. Chedvas Hashem, he moves them. Okay, the rejoicing to God is going to save you. Okay, and then the Gemara continues. I'm skipping a little bit, but do you have a question? Okay, so the Gemara says like this. It's going to the bottom of the page. Tanir of Tachlifa Achuad Rav Hinoi Chaza. Okay. Kol Mizanoso Shaladam Ketuv Lamer Hashana. So all of a person's food is set for him for Rosh Hashanah. Okay, how much food he's going to make or how much food he's going to have is set for him for Rosh Hashanah. Chutz neotzos shabbosos v'yotzos yom tov. V'yotzos banav talmud Torah. Except for, he has a fixed amount. Besides four, there's like a variable in there. Namely, the costs that he spends for Shabbos and for Yom Tov and for, tuition. Right, for his kid's tuition, his son's tuition. Shem piches pochsim lo, is if he spends little on these things, so then he's going to get little for them. V'im hosif, mosif lo, if he spends a lot on those, then it's going to be accounted in as more. So those are how much money he's going to make for the year, or whatever, is X dollars, whatever it is, let's say $100,000, let's say, and then plus, blank, and the blank is the food, the much amount it costs for his that he spends on all these things. So as he spends more, so it's going to turn out he'll make more. But everything else is fixed. Okay? Rashi. Okay, and this is a very interesting Rashi. Kol mazonosov shel adam. Kol ma she'asad le'stakir b'shana. All that which you're going to make profit this year. She'i nezon risham. That you're going to be sustained from it. Kotzav lo. It's fixed. Kach v'kach yistakar b'shanazu. This is the amount that so-and-so he's going to make profit this year. He should be careful from making too much of an expense. He shouldn't spend too much money. Because they're not going to give him any more money for his food, but that which they set aside for him. So therefore, be careful. Don't overspend, because you may overshoot your bound. Okay. This they never fixed. How much you'll make for its needs. Right? Well, and where it will come from. Whatever he's accustomed to doing, however much he's accustomed to spending, they will give to him, I mean, right then, at the time, at the moment, or later on, maybe you'll have to borrow, but it means basically you'll spend the money, the amount that you're going to make is fixed. But the other amount isn't fixed, it depends on what you do. So as you're doing it, based on what you're doing, so then the money will keep come in, either maybe then, or it'll come in a little later, based on afterwards, and you'll have to be in debt a little bit, whatever it is. But the saying is that there will be, like, that's like, so to speak, a running cheshbon, that God's going to, so to speak, is going to keep it going. But everything else is fixed. Okay, Rashi posts him low. Kolomar mamtzin lo schar mu'at. He's going to give him a little bit of schar. Okay? Fine. So, I mean, the Gemara quotes a pasuk that proves that this is true, but whatever, let's leave that alone. Okay, so this is the Gemara, basically. It's funny. Look at that little tosis. It's not that meaningful, but comes the shalad on the top one. It says Pir Shri Hakol Nafki Mikroy Deleil. There's an osof the Shabbos Kedamar Lavo Alai Ani Poreya Torah Dechsev Chedvas VeChedva HiTorah Kedepikleshem Asam Chedev. So he's saying this Chazal is really learned out from the previous pasuk, because the previous pasuk which I quoted says don't worry about it, because the Chedvas Hashem will support you. The rejoicing to God will support you. He's saying they're rejoicing to God is Shabbos and Yontif. And then Chedva also, Simcha is Simcha, and Simcha is like Torah. Torah is Simcha. So therefore, that Pasuk, it's all learned from that Pasuk. That Chedva Hashem, Yimuzcham. That so far as you're involved in Chedva Hashem, in Simcha before God, so that will save you. So the Shidim Uretzes quotes the Ritva. I couldn't find the Ritva. At least in my Ritva, it wasn't there. I figured I'd have to check that one, but... He says that it's mav dafka. It just means all mitzvahs. Doesn't mean specifically for. Doesn't mean specifically only these mitzvahs. But it's any expenses for mitzvahs. But these are basically what are the expenses the mitzvahs are going to be. So these are the primary expenses of mitzvah. But in Echanam, of course, it includes other things also. And includes other things also. Yeah. And there's one other tosos which I guess maybe touches on what Chaim was asking. The Tosfos Lavo Alagoni Poreya. It says V'hada Amar Se Shemat Rachol V'Al Tzarech L'Brios. But the halacha is that in general you're not supposed to make your Shabbos so expensive that you end up becoming a nani. Rather make your Shabbos like chol, not so fancy, and instead of becoming a nitzrach l'brios, instead of being a need for tzedakah, a need for other people. So here it seems to be saying you should borrow money. So it seems like a contradiction. So Tosfos says Hani Milik She'in Lo. The fraud. So the Aleph says, "Shein lo mimidu lavos." The grot change. So it means you don't have someone to borrow from. So if you're going to become a nani, you're right. But if you're going to, if you could borrow, some borrow, God will help you out. So you're not going to become a nani. Right? But if there's no one who's going to lend you, then what are you going to do? So now you're going to just go around begging. So no, they're saying, don't go around begging. Don't become a nani like that. But to borrow money, you borrow money. Okay. So these are the facts. Okay, so now we have any questions? The service, the question is, I'm saying, how do you rely on a miracle? You're like, so a miracle is God just going to borrow money and God's going to help you out, save you, you know? But I think it's based upon the other chazal, which is saying is that everything is fixed except for these things. These things, it's like a running tally. And your amount of money you're going to earn is dependent upon this. It's like built into the system that you're not going to lose on these things. This is how much you're going to make. I mean, it's still kind of funny, but... It seems like it's rooted in that chazal, that your money, your income is based is fixed. Except for this is not fixed. This is just dependent upon on what you spend on these things. But I mean, I think that's where we should start, though, is to analyze that thing, you know? Because this is that's at least giving you, like, it's based upon the way Schar Onash works and how that fits into your, you know. It seems it gives you a right to borrow is because you're saying is that is because of that thing, you know, because that's it's built in.
What thing?
It's the thing that your Schar Onash, all your wages are getting fixed besides for the amount that you spend for your for Shabbos Yom Tov. So if that's a given, that's, so to speak, variable, what does it mean? That's a good question. What does it mean?
Your wages are fixed, but what?
It means the amount of money that you're going to make for this year are fixed in Rosh Hashanah. So in Rosh Hashanah, they say you're going to make $100,000 plus X.
But if you splurge down Shabbos, then more money's going to come your way?
Well, yeah. Well, they say the din is you can make $100,000 plus X. And what's X? X is the amount that you spend on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Uh-huh. So if you spend a lot, you splurge on Shabbos and Yom Tov, so then your sum goes up because it's $100,000 plus X. So your X goes up, so the sum will go up.
So it means you're going to make, like...
You'll make more. If you spend $5,000 on Shabbos, then you're going to make $105,000 that year. If you spend $1,000, then you're going to make $101,000 that year. So that's like
so
a running...
you're going to get back $10,000 then?
No, what do you mean you get back $10,000? No, in other words...
You go down $5,000 and you spend
$5,000. Oh, no. So, you know, your $100,000 is, let's say, is your amount you're going to make excluding Shabbos and Yom Tov. This is how much you get besides for your Shabbos and Yom Tov stuff.
Okay.
Plus your Shabbos Yom Tov stuff.
Oh, I see.
So you have coming to you $100,000,
right?
But then your Shabbos Yom Tov is variable, is dependent, and based upon how much you spend on Shabbos Yom Tov, it will be adjusted.
I see.
You know, it'll be continually adjusted. Or as it says, a week later, a week before, whatever. But there's a continuing running tab. These are your Shabbos Yom Tov stuff, but everything else is fixed. So if you spend zero, then you're just gonna make $100,000. Right? If you spend $10,000, you're gonna make $110,000. Yeah.
No,
that's a good question. Mara's saying, what does it mean it's fixed? What does that mean exactly that it's fixed? Right, God knows, but God knows everything. God knows how much you're going to spend on Shabbos and Yom Tov also. Right? So then they say everything's fixed. Even that's fixed. God knows. So it can't just mean God knows. So then what then does it mean that it's fixed? That's a good question. What do you guys think about that Rashi? What Rashi says is that since, like, what's the point of this? It says all your stuff is fixed. Okay, fine, it's fixed. Big deal. So what's the point telling me? So Rashi says there's a point. It's not just telling you information. It's saying is therefore don't spend a lot of money because you may go over. You may go over the top, right?
You don't know where you're fixed at, though.
Right. Exactly. That's the thing is you don't know where you fixed at. So what does that mean? Like maybe your fixed is much higher. So maybe the fixed is based upon the fact that you're going to spend that amount. Like, what is it? What value does it have? Like, if I say your fixed budget is $100, so now I'll say, don't make sure you're careful what you spend because that fixed amount is whatever. But I mean, the fixed amount is based upon who knows what the fixed amount is. So, look, I guess, yeah, even if it didn't tell me that it was fixed, wouldn't I know that I shouldn't spend money because I may not have enough? Like, what's it telling you? Since it's fixed. But it's fixed, of course, whatever, it's fixed. What's going to happen is going to happen. So whatever amount of money they're going to make. Everyone knows, like, there's a limit to how much money they can make, in theory. So what does it mean, like, what's the Tia telling you? Since it's fixed, therefore be careful. You know? Good, so let's get started with it. Matt's saying it's good. I mean, we still have more components to the thing, right? But that's the first step, is that the idea of there's a reality in Torah we hold, there's such a thing as Yom HaDin. It's the Day of Judgment. Which means... it's like it's not just a rolling din, but it's our, the amount of money we're going to make is not just every day God says, oh, does he deserve a lot or a little? That's not the way it works. But God set up every year based on our level, or based on whatever it is at Rosh Hashanah, so there are certain causes and effects which are set into motion, which will eventuate, which will result in bringing about the capability of us to make a certain amount of money. Now again, I don't think it means that it's like what Mara said, if you use your bechira and you decide to just sit down and be a bum all day long, then you're going to make it. The thing it means is that the capability, it's in the cards for you to be able to make a certain amount of money. All the things are there. Of course, you have to actualize it. You have to, it's not like predicting the future, so to speak. You know, it means that there are patterns set up and causes and factors set into play. You deserve X amount of money, and therefore there are factors which are set into play which will allow you to be able to achieve that. Now, you have to, of course, you have to use your chachma to be able to use them properly. But the point is that there is a limit. There's a limit to how much is within your capability. And therefore, if you can't just say, you can't just say, look, I'll spend a lot of money, I'll splurge, and then I'll just daven, like what Chaim said, then I'll just daven to Hashem and ask them to change things. Because there's a fixed amount. It's not a rolling din. See, if we're rolling din, then you'd say at any point, I'll spend money, and then I'll ask God to judge me, and I'll be judged, right? And I could kind of bank on a good din. But since the din is fixed, so there's an amount that was fixed. Now, you don't know what it is, but there is a fixed amount. So what it's saying is that if you spend, which is beyond your means, and then just, it's basically teaching you, don't feel like you could always just rely on the tefillah. There's such a thing where a tefillah is, the tefillah doesn't work. You know, there are factors set into play. So the thing is that since they're set, so therefore you have to be careful. You have to be careful. You can't just, be careful anyways. No, but there's a certain idea. As a person who believes in God would say, I don't have to be that careful. I could always just spend. I won't be that careful. And if I get into a tough situation, I'll just turn to God. So it's not true. It's not true. I mean, it's not saying that God can never overturn what's set up and then, but in general, that doesn't happen. I mean, there's Chazals talk about like being Korea Gzardino, like ripping up a Gzardin. But essentially, a Gzardin is a Gzardin. There's such a thing as, let's say, doing tshuva before Rosh Hashanah and doing tshuva after Rosh Hashanah, or after Yom Kippur. You know, there's such a thing as din, and let's say, God judges the world. There's this complicated business around judging the world, and there are the forces and factors which are set into motion based upon yours and everyone else's level at Yom HaDin. Okay? We good? Question? Now, someone may say, yeah, but it's not fair. Or why is that fair? Why is that just kind of thing, right? Like, well, here it is in Rosh Hashanah, I was a bad guy. I wasn't such a good guy. And I got a bad din. And then it turns out I did tshuva. And now I'm a good guy. So shouldn't my din be determined based upon what I'm at now? Right? Why is it that I get locked in to, and vice versa? And vice versa, if I was a good guy and then I become a bad guy. Yeah. I'm not saying good, it's just elaborate, but it's right. You know, but first of all, you know about Yom HaDin. You know about it. It's not like I was just not telling you about it. So, but still, you say, okay, but still, it's a funny, why should it be that way? But like Ilan Rabbi Shimon told me a good example. I think it's a good example that illustrates the idea. It's like, let's say you have a teacher is evaluated. A teacher is in a school, and he's evaluated by the principal or by whatever to determine whether he should be rehired or should keep his job. So there's two types of ways the principal could do it. You could have, let's say, video cameras in the room, or every day come in and assess the teacher, and if the teacher does a good job, he keeps him. If he does a bad job, he throws him out. What he could do is he could have an annual assessment, let's say that towards the end of the year, let's say in April or whatever. He comes in, he tells the teacher, today's the day. I'm going to come in on April 1st or April, whatever it is, and I'm going to tell you that I'm coming in and do your best job, do work up, work all your best teaching, whatever then, and focus then, and then I'm going to judge you for next year based upon how you teach on April 1st. So clearly the better principle or the job you'd rather have is the April 1st one, right? Because it's hard for a person to be on all the time, but it's easier for a person to focus their attention and their energies to be able to be a good teacher at one fixed point in the time, and to have their din for the rest of the year based on that is point is it's Chesed Hashem that God gives us our din. Now, you could say in funny cases you say you would have been better off if you had a rolling din, but generically for man it's not the best thing. It's best for man is that God sets a time, Rosh Yom Kippur, which is a time where man's involved in the highest ideas of Malchias, Zechronos, and Shofros, and Tshuva, and all that. And the saying is that your din for the rest of the year, how much money you're going to make, whatever it is, Miyicha, Miyamos, all these things, is fixed based upon your level at that time. And that's Chesed Hashem, that he does that. So now, even if I can manage to get myself to a good level at that point, then I'll get a favorable din, even if afterwards I'm not necessarily at that level. But it comes along for the ride. If you miss it, you miss it. But there's a reality. So it's Chesed Hashem that he judges the world in that way. But now that's the case, there's a reality to then. There's a reality, and there's such a thing as things which are fixed. After that point, you can't necessarily just be be lax about stuff and say, hey, I'll just daven. I'll just do tshuva. It doesn't work that way. There's such a thing as things which are fixed. So if you overspend, then you get stuck. So you're not necessarily, you can't necessarily do anything about it. But it's saying is apparently that there is, even though things are fixed, apparently the your money for Shabbos and Yom Tov is not fixed, right? That's interesting, right? That's what it's saying. I mean, that's practically what it's saying. Is that there is a, so it doesn't mean that God, it doesn't mean that, so to speak, that God has to set it up, because how else is he going to make you be able to get $100,000 if you all of a sudden do the tshuva? So it must be God has to set up in advance in order to be able to work it out. That's not what it's saying. God could work it out. God could change things in a split second. It's not a matter of that. It's just that he doesn't, for whatever reason, in terms of din, it's all set into play. But vis-a-vis Shabbos and Yom Tov stuff, it's not fixed. That's variable. And it's variable, and it's going to be a rolling din. So what's the sense of that? That is saying that it's variable for this? Could we explain that? Like, what's the idea of that? One thing I just want to say is that maybe it's just simple, is that the din is on your mizonos. It means God judges you, how much are you going to have for your sustenance? How much food are you going to get? How much money are you going to get? How much spending money are you going to get? You know? But this isn't your spending money. This is a totally different thing. This is mitzvahs. Because the idea is it would be like parents give a kid an allowance or something. But they're not including the allowance, the basic, their food and, you know, the food that they put on the table or whatever. That's just a given. That's not, you know, there could be certain things. It's like it's spending money. Saying is that God, a person has a certain amount that would get earned, a certain amount of money they could spend on his personal stuff. And it's saying is that you have a din of how much personal spending money you're going to be given, and that's what your din is on. And that's based upon your level, how righteous you are, how not righteous, or whatever factors are going to your din, determine how much money, how much spending money you're going to be given. But spending money for Shabbos and Yom Tov is not your spending money. That's a whole different framework. So see, the point is the din is not on dollars, how much dollars you're going to earn. Okay, because in dollars, they're the same thing. There's these dollars and those dollars. Bottom line is, they're cash. How much dollars am I going to have in my bank account? But the din is how much spending money do you merit? So how much spending money do you merit? It doesn't make sense that if a guy's going to spend more on Shabbos and Yom Tov, then he's going to merit less, he's going to get less money. Like, that's kind of what you're saying. So why should a guy have less because he spends a lot on Shabbos and Yom Tov? The din is on how much God's going to allot to you to be able to spend for your personal tzrachim. But vis-a-vis how much you're going to spend for, why should your din be, why should you be limited, so to speak, and how much you're going to be given to spend for Shabbos and Yom Tov? Shabbos and Yom Tov isn't like your personal thing. Shabbos and Yom Tov. So what it's saying is that there's no din on that. It's not a din. It's that here's your limit. You only deserve to spend $100 on Shabbos. Well, why? Because I'm a Rosh Hashanah, what does that have anything to do with that? So I understand the saying is the din is my personal needs. I don't deserve more than a certain amount of money. I deserve X amount of money, not Y amount of money for my needs. But this isn't giving money to me. This is just this is my involvement in Kiddush Hashem and Shabbos and whatever ideas in Talmud Torah. That's not what my din is on. My din is on my personal money that I'm going to be given. There's nothing to do with it. That's not what my din is going to. My din is not on that. It's a din about the person's his mizonos. It comes out osav shel adam. This is not mizonos. It's not part of your food. It's not like another expense. That's what I'm saying. It's like you have your expenses. But it's not like your tuition and your son's tuition and your Shabbos and Yom Tov things are other expenses. They're not other expenses. Your expenses, which are your money, and then there's the Seched Vas Hashem, which is the money basically which is involved in bringing back Kiddush Hashem, is involved in building Yom HaShabbos, Kadoshim Adonainu, involved in Talmud Torah. That's a whole different thing. That's not like spending your money. It's a different idea. That's you're just involved in the mitzvah. And your din is not a... Your din doesn't limit that. You're not limited based upon your din and how much you're going to be able to be involved in that. But you are, what's the din limiting? The din is limiting how much money you're going to get for your stuff. The thing is if you're a tzaddik, then you're going to get more money for your stuff. If you're a rosh, you're going to get less money for your stuff. But why? A tzaddik in Russia has nothing to do. If you're a tzaddik, then you'll be able to have better Shabbos. Why? Shabbos has nothing to do with my Shabbos to Shabbos. Everyone should get to do Shabbos. And that's the thing, is the way Shabbos and Yom Tov works is that if you're willing to spend more money on Shabbos, then you'll get more money for Shabbos. If you want to spend less money, if you really at a level where you could take your money and spend it for Shabbos, then you could do that, and you could realize that that's the true value of my, you know, I'm spending my money on something that's really worthwhile. So then the saying is that God, you're not going to become poor because of that. Saying that din, is those factors are left open. They're not fixed, and therefore the you know, the amount of money you're going to earn vis-a-vis that is really variable. And it's not like God's doing a miracle, it's just, I mean, these things that money is so, you know, there's so many different places a person can get a little less, more. I mean, it's the type of thing that the things come your way. And the saying is like, it's like, it doesn't have to be, it's not that God can't do it without making some sort of miracle of $1 million falling down from the sky or whatever. And it's also, it's not like spending, I don't know if it means like, guys, it's ridiculous to spend $1 million on whatever. You know, but I mean, it sounds like it's saying is the person should spend money, shouldn't. It sounds like it's saying the person shouldn't cut back on his spending because of Shabbos. So you're budgeting. If you have a certain type of budget where you don't buy meat, you should buy meat on Shabbos. You know, you have a certain budget, you can't afford whatever, so you can't buy wine. You should buy wine, you know, whatever it is, you should do it on Shabbos. And even to borrow money. You're saying even if you borrow money, but I mean, we're not usually in that circumstance. But a person shouldn't be stingy or tight in their budget when it comes to mitzvah. That's not the reason why you're tight in your money, is because you realize you only have a certain amount of money allotted to you. But it's that's not true. When it comes to Shabbos Yontif, it's not true. The din is a rolling din. I think it just means is that you get paid back. It means is that how much money are you going to allotted to spend for Shabbos Yontif?
Right.
As much money as you spend. There's no amount. There's no fixed amount. So the amount is how much you spend. So if you spend $100 on Shabbos, so then you're going to get $100 because God's giving you. And there's dashkacha there. It's not subject to din and to your tzidkas and rishos. It's basically you'll have what you need as you spend. So if you spend $100, you'll get back your $100. So if you borrow it, you'll get it. God's saying, he'll pay you back for it. He'll pay you back. And you could pay it back. You could borrow the money and you'll get it back. I mean, we can't figure out exactly the cheshbon and how these things work out or whatever, but the thing is, it's not. See, if it was subject to my din, so I'll say my din only gives me $100, so I shouldn't spend $150 or whatever, it's a fixed amount, and therefore, since it's fixed, I have to be careful what I spend. But the thing is, what's the din of how much money you can get for Shabbos and Yantif? X. What's X? How much you spend. That's how much you're going to get. So therefore, you have a right to you're not going to have a shortfall, because even if you borrow the money, you'll know then that's what your din is going to be, that's how much money you're going to get for it. So therefore, you're not going to end up paying any less off because of that. There would have been two options. What's fixed at Rosh Hashanah? Is it that the dollars that you earn are fixed on Rosh Hashanah? Or is it that you are mizonos, that you're spending money is me fixed on Rosh Hashanah? Mm-hmm. If it's that you're mizonos, so then means that your Shabbos and the other stuff is not fixed. So it means, what does it mean it's not fixed? It means, so what is it then? If it's not fixed, then it must be it's variable. Now, what's it variable based upon? I mean, it's the sense is it's variable based on how much you spend. Otherwise, it's going to be fixed. Otherwise, you're saying it's been fixed based on some other thing. So what's it going to be fixed day to day based on what? So once it's fixed, then basically I'll just throw it into the rest of my mizonos, and then it's going to turn out that I have to be careful about what I spend because I have to worry about my Shabbos Yontif expenses. And then basically it comes under my din, so you can turn out that Tzadik is going to is going to get more money, so to speak, for his Shabbos than Rasha. But the thing is, that's not true. There's no halacha that based on your level you get more or less money for Shabbos and Yontif. You get more or less money for your personal stuff. Shabbos and Yontif, you get the money you need for Shabbos and Yontif, whatever it takes to make Shabbos and Yontif. And if you make a good Shabbos, you get money for a good Shabbos. If you decide Shabbos is not important, you get money for a bad Shabbos. No, you can't get rich with this. It's not going to get rich because you're only going to get the money spent for Shabbos. If you spend $1 million for Shabbos and $1 million for Shabbos, whatever. But you can't get other money. You're just going to get the money. So you can't fake God out and say, oh, I'm going to spend $1,000 for Shabbos. Give me $1,000 and then pocket it. It doesn't work that way. You know. But if you're really spending your money for Shabbos, so then apparently you're saying is I appreciate Shabbos and I realize the significance of the Yom HaShabbos and of the Kadosh Hayom Adonenu and the Kiddush Hashem or whatever is involved in it, or I recognize the value of Talmud Torah and Misorah and teaching my kids Torah, and therefore you put your money in there. So the thing is you're not going to lose out on it. The thing is, spend money. Don't be hesitant about spending money to do the mitzvah. So that's what it's saying. You know, and God will work it out. But the question is, like, if a guy just says, I want to be a hedonist and I want to have big meals and I just know that the best time to do it is on Shabbos because I know God's going to take care of me, I don't know if that's what he's talking about. You know, presumably, it's be based upon Hotzah Shabbos and Yontif, it's an appreciation of the Chedvah Hashem. It's a similar, you know, he's ended up spending his money to be able to be involved in these higher pursuits, and he values the higher pursuits. But, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it's interesting Gemara. So maybe what I'd like to do next week is to move on to do the stuff at Kazayas, Mala Halachta. But maybe before we do that, I'll just do this little part of the Gemara we skipped. Because even though it seems totally unrelated, I think it's a little related. Okay, but you'll see, it's a weird Gemara. It's short, it's a little thing. I mean, we'll just, maybe on Monday we should be on Monday, right? So maybe we'll do that at the beginning, and then we'll do the Gemara and the Kazayas, and we'll jump. And maybe from time to time we'll come back and forth, you know, to slowly, you know, cover some of these. I got it, does. But the Gemara we're going to do is at the top of Tazayin and Mabez. Yibaylu, Gazayin Sekalachadach, Gazayin Sekalachadachul, the second line on Tazayin and Mabez. And it basically, the Gemara just goes until Maravuna, like 10, 15 lines down. Yeah, and I guess that top tosis is interesting to them.
So the second line?
Yeah.
Ravava Aruch.
Yibaylu. Tazayin and Mabez.
Oh,
till I guess Amar Rav Huna. It's like 10 lines down, the beginning of the line. Amar Rav Huna. That's already another sugya. So I mean, it's like 10, 15 lines. You know, you can do it with Rashi's, and you know, there's that little Tosas, the top one.
Do you say you think the Andar is related to
Israel?